you think in terms of blackmail, if some, you may, the listener may remember when he was a child and somebody grabbed your arm and twisted it and said, "Say uncle." And, of course, your arm hurt because it was being twisted behind your back, and so you gave in. That's a very subtle, or, I mean, not so subtle. That's a very simple type of mind control. And so the trauma and the torture can simply be used in a very simple way to, if you don't comply, it's going to hurt. You know, men that are slaves get their genitals electroshocked. You know, it's very painful. That's a very simple way of bringing somebody in line. And then, of course, one of the ways that trauma is used is to split the mind, fracture it into thousands of pieces, and to create the multiple personality disorder. That's one of the techniques. You've got...
Just to stay on the topic of trauma, what is the importance of maintaining that trauma in terms of keeping the conditioning intact and keeping the state of dissociation intact?
They want to maintain a high level of trance and dissociative behavior of the victim, so they like to continue traumatizing the person. But as I just brought out earlier, there's more involved here than just keeping the dissociative level high. You're also trying to maintain the person to stay in the reptilian survival-based thinking. You're also trying to keep them having a spirit of fear controlling their life, so they don't slack off. They train the parents. The parents of the children that are being programmed are secretly trained in how to abuse their children so that they can help keep their children very dissociative. Not only that, but if the children are going to some established religious institute, like, for instance, if they're going to the Catholic Church, or, and I could list a whole number of other churches, Episcopalian churches involved in this, their priests, their clergymen have been trained in how to abuse the children. And this is all encouraged. This is why you have such a big problem, a modern-day problem within the Catholic Church, of so many of the priests abusing children, and all of the lawsuits that have been brought against the Catholic Church. Some people have said that they think that it's going to financially bankrupt the church. But the reason why so much of this is going on is for purposes of mind control.
Now, have these priests in these churches, have they been coerced to participate in this, or are they part of these Illuminati families? What's their role?
There are a lot of different reasons as to why someone is a pedophile. One of the problems within the Catholic Church is that there hasn't been normal outlets for sexual activity provided for priests and nuns, and then they're given these subversive, secret ways to release their sexuality. Some of the priests are actually secret Satanists, and this is part of their, I guess, the reward that they receive for being part of some secret satanic coven. There are various reasons as to why an individual, some just go along because that's what everybody else is doing, and they, it's something that's allowed, and until people put their foot down and say we're not going to tolerate this, you know, as long as they can get away with it, and I can talk about a number of cases where people did put their foot down and say we're not going to tolerate this abuse of our child by the clergy, and the hierarchy that should have penalized that clergyman simply promoted them and sent them to some other part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So why they do it, that they, I guess each person is God knows why each person is has become an abuser.
Now, can you explain how the dissociation has been used in terms of programming and the structure of that programming?
Well, the victim of the mind control has had their mind split into many personalities, and actually far more personalities than what people in the therapeutic community generally realize. Cisco, who I brought out of the Illuminati, has very standard programming in many ways, although she has unique features to her system of personalities. But she had a very standard 13 by 13 a grid of alter personalities. Each one of those personalities has been given a separate history, a separate personality, has its own likes, dislikes. And what you've done is you've turned what was one person into a whole city of people. And the only way that the mind of the slave can function is if it relies upon the master to give it some stability. Imagine if your mind was a whole series of competing persons, each with their own ideas and likes and dislikes. The only way to bring some order out of the chaos would be to have some controlling entity controlling that chaos. And so that's some of the slaves that reach the point of actually becoming aware that they are multiples, on the deeper levels, realize that they need the mind control for their minds not to break down into total craziness. Another way of looking at it is what the Illuminati are doing are creating controlled insanity, in that for these victims of the mind control to endure the horrific trauma that's given to them, they have to isolate their memories of that trauma and the parts of the mind that have to pick up some of that trauma. Some of those parts, in essence, are I hate to use the word crazy, but they're not able to. They're taking the bad, they're taking the garbage that's happening, and the mind is shuffling it, is isolating it, and if those walls of disassociation break down, then the other parts of the mind are going to have to deal with a lot of garbage.
Why do you think they needed so many identities to be put in place?
Well, if you're going to invest the time to create a robot, you want to build in as many capabilities into that robot as possible. And you want to compartmentalize everything, so everything's secret. One of the reasons why intelligence agencies function so well, you know, like for instance the CIA, is that they compartmentalize everything. You only know on a need-to-know basis. Well, they do the same with these people's minds. And a slave may function on many different levels. He's got his front, which they create the best front possible. That's his everyday life, or her everyday life. But then they may want to use that person for drug smuggling, money laundering, carrying messages, performing satanic rituals, producing porn movies, assassinating somebody, spying on somebody. You've got all of these different, and then you've got internal jobs too. Again, remember going back to what I said earlier, how the mind has been fractured into many disassociated pieces, and essentially a whole city of people has been made out of those pieces. In order for that city of people to function, you have to have different jobs. You'll have some of the older personalities taking care of baby personalities internally in the person's mind. So you've got functions, you've got gatekeepers, you've got hierarchy alters that are controlling other alters. You've got a hierarchy of personalities. What you're doing is that's a whole, and that's a whole science in itself on how to structure the disassociated parts of the mind.
You mentioned the one structure of programming, the 13x13 grid. Were there other structures used that you're aware of?
Oh, yes. Many different structures. It all depends on the whim and fancy of the programmer. As he shatters the victim's mind, he can reassemble that mind however he wants to. He could use a sphere. They create systems within systems, too. A common system that's within a system is the Kabbalistic Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm. So do you see similarities in the survivors that you've been working with in terms of the structure?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's one of the things is that you'll have a therapist in one state, and they will have not known anything about MPD, and they will DID, and they'll start working with the victim and calling other therapists for help and taking notes. And as their victims, the victim will say, "Well, I drew these pictures. I don't know what they mean." And then the victim will say, "And I'm interested in these subjects. I'm, you know, like I'm fascinated with Star Trek, or I am fascinated with anything to do with the Wizard of Oz, or I'm fascinated with Mickey Mouse." And they'll be telling the therapist all of this, and then the therapist will call some other therapist and say, "Well, what do you make of this? This person is drawing all these pictures and says they're interested in this." And then if this other therapist is experienced, they may say, "Oh, well, hey, I've got somebody that's just like that." You know, so all across the country, there are therapists and then people like myself, who's a minister, who are working with these people who are running into the same patterns time and time again, the same structures. So, and of course, like I was saying, working with people that were in the Illuminati, working with people that did the programming itself, has really helped my learning curve too in understanding the structures that are built in. Another common structure that you'll see is a lot of mirror imaging. That's more of a technique than a structure that you'll see.
So what do you mean by that? A mirroring of an altar, or?
Yeah, and mirroring of all kinds of things. Again, that's part of the technique of deceit.
And that's what that's the purpose of using this mirror was, it's just, for example, if a therapist came across one altar dealt with that. There may have been a mirror of that.
Yeah, a lot of the therapists, when they think that they're actually dealing with a particular personality, they're dealing with its mirror image. The systems are programmed, they're created so that if somebody starts working with them, that there's all these defensive mechanisms that are triggered, and one of the defensive mechanisms is to have mirror image alters take the place of who the therapist is trying to work with. So the therapist thinks they've done something, but they've actually just played games. Mirror images of things within the programming itself, so that the when one particular personality tries to work on their mind's programming, the mind is so confusing what they see internally that they can't figure out their own mind. They also use mirror imaging for in terms of okay, let me explain, pull off to the side here and explain something about management. The best manager is somebody who doesn't have to spend a lot of time giving instructions to a person. Now, if you're a slave master and you have to be constantly telling that slave what to do and constantly correcting it and making sure it's doing its job, you become a slave to the slave. You know, what you want to do is to create a human robot that will be self-directing and self-correcting. So they create hierarchies of alters within the person, and one of the things that they do is they create alter personalities within the person's mind who think that they are the programmer themselves. So you and Cameron, who was a programmer, his victims would have personalities within them that would think that they are you and Cameron, and therefore they would carry out the abuse of other personalities as they would perceive you and Cameron would do it. Amazing. That's one use of mirrors. Another use of mirrors is if you're teaming two slaves together, you'll create personalities. Let's say you and I were to be teamed together, I would have personalities created in me that think that they're you, and you would have personalities created in you that think that they're me. And it would further the binding process.
So, in generally speaking, with people that have been victim of this type of mind control, how many personalities are we talking about in a person?
Lots. Cisco has 30,000 standard alters.
30,000.
And then there's lots of other disassociated pieces too. That would not be abnormal. The therapeutic community in general, the community that's been out, the small part of the therapeutic community that's trying to address DID, they generally work with a few front personalities. You've got a number of books out there by people that had multiple personality disorder, where the therapist came in and worked with five or six front personalities. The Illuminati sat back and allowed them to integrate some front personalities, and the person was told by the therapist, "You're now integrated, you're fine," and they left therapy, and everybody's happy. The victim thinks that they're free of their MPD. The therapist has made a lot of money and gotten famous over some book that they've written, and the Illuminati's happy because these are just front alters that have been stabilized. These systems of alters are far more complex than people realize.
Now, what are the dangers involved in dealing with therapy with a mind control victim, particularly when a particular therapist may be unaware of the techniques and structures of mind control?
I'd have to caution people that some of the best minds of the 20th century, we have hundreds of some of the best minds, if not thousands of the best minds, have spent many, many years figuring out how to build defensive mechanisms into the minds of these slaves to protect the programming. So in a sense, what it's like is, imagine you're going in to try to hack a computer. The listeners have heard of computer hackers that try to get into other people's programs. Imagine a system that's set up that if somebody who's not an approved user comes into the room and looks at the computer, that the computer shuts down or the computer explodes. That's really what you're looking at in trying to work with a mind control victim, is that they have a lot of suicide programming, so that if the front alters, the personalities that hold the body from day in, day out, if they were to ever find out that they were under mind control or that they're a multiple personality, that they would commit suicide. You have all kinds of defensive programs. And it's just like, not only is the computer programmed to explode if you walk into the room, you touch the keyboard and you're an unauthorized user, again, the computer is programmed to explode. Every step of the way, there are backup programs to deceive, to destroy. It is not easy. It's something that the novice does not want to get into. It's something that takes a lot of time and patience and skill and a lot of love for the victims, too. One has to really abhor what's going on to have the motivation that it takes to work with such a complex problem.
And what would you recommend for therapists wanting to know more about how this is done and how they can help heal the victims?
I'd strongly recommend our three books. I've co-authored these three books with Cisco Wheeler. The one I already mentioned, the Illuminati formula used to create an undetectable total mind-controlled slave. The sequel to that, which is 620 pages, is Deeper Insights into the Illuminati formula. And the Deeper Insights book has, its part one is on how the control comes about, and its part two is how the help comes about. So we've got a lot of good information in there, laying a foundation for understanding what's happened and how to begin to unravel what's happened.
Now, in terms of your own work, how much success have you had in working with victims of mind control?
There's the problem that the mind control presents is overwhelming, and there are countless therapeutic issues. So there's no end to the different issues that can be worked on. Cisco and I have freely given of our time to help any victim of mind control in whatever way we could. The degree of therapeutic success depends upon a number of things. One, it depends upon the situation that the victim puts themselves in. If they are willing to extract themselves from their everyday life and go somewhere where it's safe, they're going to do a lot more, they're going to be able to work on a lot more therapeutic issues. The reason why is because the mind of a mind-controlled slave is not going to let its guard down as long as it's not safe. And this gets back into understanding how the reptilian mind or the survival-based thinking can override other areas of the mind. When you become deathly frightened for your life, your survival instincts take precedence over the other parts of your brain. If you've been traumatized your entire life, your survival-based thinking is your primary method of thinking, and it doesn't take much to throw you into that fear-based survival based thinking. So the first criteria for doing successful work with a mind control victim is to get them someplace safe. You could say that 99.99% of the victims of mind control have never been given that. Therapists do not set things up for survivors to or victims of mind control to be in any safe situation. When I say safe, I mean they have to be safe 24 hours. So we have, Cisco and I have been able to work on victims to the degree that the situation allowed. But there's no end to the work that we could do if the right situation, the right setup was presented itself. This is why I was hoping to create a deprogramming center. There was a man who was CIA who was very horrified at what the intelligence agencies, the government, has been doing to people. And I have a friend who this CIA man knew, who also works at providing therapy for mind control victims. And this CIA man wrote into his will to give a number of millions of dollars to my friend for the purpose of doing therapy work with mind control victims. And then my friend in turn was going to give me a couple million dollars so that I could start a deprogramming center. This man's will, when he died, was in the Oklahoma City Federal Building, and the only copy that we know about of his will was in the Federal Building when it exploded. So I was rather upset when that Federal Building exploded, because that short-circuited our plans to build a couple deprogramming centers. Short of building some place that's safe and that's staffed with a staff of competent people, it is extremely difficult to accomplish much. Even when I can't have accomplished positive therapy with a victim, all that it takes for the other side to do is to physically grab them and to reprogram them. So, and I'm saying this of what's happened for me over the past few years in terms of trying to help victims, and as a warning to the public and the therapeutic community at large that at this point, not a whole lot is really being accomplished to thwart the mind control.
We've been listening to part two of an interview with Fritz Springmeier in the ongoing radio series on mind control here on the International Connection. I'd like to announce that tapes are finally available of all the shows of this series at the office of CKLN, and that's at 380 Victoria Street in Jorgensen Hall in the Ryerson University campus. And the cassette tapes are $8 each. Each are 1 hour for each show, and there's catalogs available listing all of the shows and descriptions. On the show today, Fritz Springmeier was alleging that top leaders in the world are members of the Illuminati and are using mind control to bring about a global military, government, economy, and church. Fritz is a researcher of the Illuminati and mind control and co-author of such books as The Top 13 Illuminati Bloodlines and The Illuminati Formula Used to Create an Undetectable Total Mind Control Slave. We will be hearing from Fritz's co-author, Cisco Wheeler, in a few weeks when she will be speaking about her experience as a mind-controlled Illuminati family member. Are the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati using mind control to bring about a fascist New World Order? Stay tuned next week on the International Connection for part 3 of this interview with Fritz Springmeier.